good to us. It's such a blessing, you know, at times looking out and seeing the little kids worshiping Jesus. You know, it's what a Jesus loves the little children, and so do we. These kids have plans. God has good plans for them, and it's just so good to see Sue Walker here with her four grandchildren. I mean, three. I mixed up. I was wondering where Jim was today, but I got him mixed up with the grandkids. I'm sorry about that. Forgive me this morning, but. I just forgive me. I didn't mean that. I must not have got caught up in the haze of worship, but it's wonderful to see all the kids worshiping. It's wonderful to see you all worshiping. God is good. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 is our key scripture. You know, Jesus could joke. He was anointed, the Bible said, with the oil of gladness above everyone else. He was glad and happy. And it makes me feel better about myself to think that he was a joke teller. The Bible doesn't say he was, but I'm going to say he had a sarcastic bone in his body as well. But anyways, let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here today and in your house. Lord, we don't take it for granted. In fact, Father, there's people all over the world right now that wouldn't be able to go to church, whether they're persecuted, whether health problems don't allow them to. But, Father, we can freely come to your house on a Sunday morning and be together in the corporate anointing under the Word of God and hear from heaven. And, Lord, we honor this time. We don't take it for granted. We don't look at it as some mundane, repetitive thing. And so, Father, be God here this morning. We're hungry and ready. We didn't just show up to play church. We know you're not in the game of just playing church. It's not your flow just for us to show up and expect that we just get something for showing up. No, it's all about attitude. It's all about expectation. It's all about heart. And so, Father, here are we. Speak to us, help us, utterance, boldness, impartation, revelation, encouragement, instruction, correction if need be. And Lord, we receive it and welcome it all. And we thank you. Bullseyes will be hit in our hearts this morning, and we'll walk out of here different. We'll walk out of here changed. And we praise you for it and love you. We're just so grateful for you. And thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is part two of our series entitled Love. Of course, last week was the first message in the series. And that was Set Your Sights. You know, we were setting our sights, make it your aim, as I think I titled it on live stream. And so we know, we looked a lot about love, and we'll just do a little bit of review, but it's such a vast subject, and it's one that we need to get because so much, actually, everything else falls under the umbrella of love. If the umbrella of love isn't up, then we're not covered in healing. We're not covered in our provision and prosperity and believing for our children, our finances, our businesses, just things in life, everything falls under this umbrella of love. And so the Bible says you get faith by hearing it. And we need to renew our minds to these things. And so in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, we saw, be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. And let me just tell you, the key to success is just copy him. Amen. Don't try to figure out life for yourself. He left you a book. And, you know, life's an open book. For the test that he's given us, he says, take the test with an open book. Amen. How many of you used to like open book tests? Amen. Oh, that was music to my ears, right? Especially if you hadn't studied and you weren't ready. Open book test was the way to go. And I'll tell you what, God says life's a test. In this world, you'll have tests. You'll have tribulations. He says, but here, I'm not leaving you without the answers. Praise God. So he gives us the answers to the tests. And he says, in this book, I'm going to show you who I am, how I think, how I talk, how I act. And I am an example, talking as if I'm God. He says, I've never failed. I've never missed it. I've never come up to something I didn't know how to get out of. I've never been overwhelmed. I've never been oppressed or depressed. I've never been confused. I've never been in the throes of sickness and not been able to get out, or the throes of poverty. And so he says, follow me, copy me. And it'd be good to look at him. And we talked about, remember, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player. And Kobe Bryant, who came up behind him as a young man, what did he say? He said, I just copied him. Why? He's the best. I want to do what he does. If I can emulate my game after him, and there was wisdom in that, right? And so that's what we need to do. And a lot of times, it's just the truth. I'll meet with people that are going through things, that are stuck in things, that, you know, it just feels like the world's crumbling on them. And a lot of times, you know, we have a part to play. We have to know that. We don't accuse ourselves, but we have to understand we have a part to play. And if we're not playing our part, that does leave doors open, and it can hurt us. But a lot of times people just aren't acting like God. Their thinking is way off. Well, how do you think like God? You think in line with the Word. Their actions, the way they live life, is not how God would do it. The way they talk in situations when tests come up against them. You know, the disciples and Jesus both encountered the same test in the boat. God talked different than the disciples talked in that test. Well, and it was the failing way to talk. And so we want to copy God. And the best way we can copy God is found in verse 2, because he tells us, this is exactly who I am. He says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So you want to walk in the perfection that God walks in and walk in the light that God walks in, then you're going to have to walk in love. Yes. You have to walk in love. Why? To copy God, God is love. Whenever you step outside of the boundaries of what the Bible tells us is the love walk boundary, you have stepped out of walking and copying victory. Amen. It's true. And so we need to walk in love. And we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13:8. We saw, and remember, leading up to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul, when he speaks, I listen. Why? He is the Michael Jordan of apostles. None like him. Before, during, and after. None like the Apostle Paul. He stands in a category. By even the 12 stand in a category all by themselves. No one will ever be another apostle of the Lamb. But even the 12 weren't given the revelation that Paul was given, that we're still feeding off today. Praise God. And the mandate that he had. So when he listens, or when he speaks, I listen. He's the Michael Jordan of apostles. And remember what he said before verse 8. He said in chapter 12, verse 31, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way to live. And then in chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, remember he says, I can give my body to be burned. I can have faith so that I can remove mountains. I can speak with tongues of men and angels. I can give my body to be burned. He says, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And then in verse 8, it leads up to this. He says, love never fails. Don't be confused with that saying charity, your newer translation, or you look that up in the Amplified, and the Greek word is the word agape. It translates love. But love never fails. Love is the path, is the lifestyle, is the way of victory. Notice this, it never fails. It's undefeated. When people wake up and go about their day and get into conversations and go to work and get thoughts that come their way and have opportunities to act, when they walk out of love, they are basically saying, I choose to not win. I choose to not be victorious. Listen, you want the victorious? We need mountains moved. We need things to turn. We need deliverances. The miracle working flow that God works in is only the flow of love. Amen. If you're not walking in love, you can't receive the miracle power you need. There's many stories I could tell about that, but the one that really stands out to me, and I've told it so many times, but it's worth repeating. A gentleman years ago, we were over in the storefront, told me about, I had preached on this, and he came and told me a testimony after. He said, Pastor, you know, I grew up, I know know the word. You know, I know God's a healer. I quote the scriptures. I believe it with all my heart. I know Jerusalem, Israel had a covenant of healing, and we have a better covenant of healing. Jesus died. I mean, he knew it. He could preach it, you know. And he said, I've been to ministers. He's like, I know God uses people on the earth, and people have anointings. And I've been to ministers that have healing anointings, that have had signs, wonders, and miracles out of their ministry. And he said, I've been believing for my shoulder to be healed. He said, I can't lift it up. I can't hardly move it. It impedes so many things. And he said, I went to these ministers, had hands laid on me. When they laid hands on me, I was in full faith, full expectation. I know the word. I believe it. But this wasn't just a season of a test he was going through. This was years and years and years of dealing with sickness and disease. And Jesus paid for that. And so he said, Lord, now remember, the Bible says, for this cause, many are weak, sick, and sleep. There's a lot of times a cause. It could be natural ignorance. It could be lack of faith, right? It could be sin. I mean, there's lots of different causes. Could be an attack from the enemy, but there's always a cause for this cause. And he said, Lord, I don't understand this. He was driving and he asked the Lord, and I do want to say this to you. You know, God is not confused about anything you're going through. He has the answers to everything. If you want to know bad enough, the Bible says if you'll diligently seek him, he'll reward you. He will. He's not just trying to hide things from me, but he needs you to get into a mindset to get your mind shut off and get in the spirit realm where he's operating and speaking so you can hear from him. But anyways, Lord, why I don't understand. I believe this. I've been to these ministers. They're called anointed of God, men and women that have great miracle testimonies. But my healing, I know you even paid for it, but it's not manifesting years. What's going on? He just sensed something was up. And up from his heart, the Holy Ghost said, you have not forgiven your father. Well, his dad had wronged him throughout the years, you know, and he had held that as a grudge. And, you know, unforgiveness is just one of the ways you can step out of love. But when you step out of love, you step out of the miracle working flow. And so he's in a miracle services, he's believing God, and the miracle spout has been turned off. Why? It's not flowing. Why? Because love never fails. God's flow of power to you is love. That's why we need to identify what love is and how to walk in love, because we can't miss the mark. Remember I said in that slick text a week ago? There's a bullseye we have to hit, and we can't afford to miss it. And we saw what that bullseye was last week. It's love. Love never fails. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. So Paul talks about that. And actually, before this verse, he said there's faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So Paul just gets done saying in chapter 12, verse 31, it's a more excellent way, chapter 13, 1 through 3, you can have all these wonderful things in your life, but if you don't have love, they're worthless. Then he says in verse 8, love never fails. And then he goes down to verse 13 and says there's faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So he just gets done bragging and talking about love. He's not being very casual about love. And he's going to tell you here in this verse, don't be casual about love. He says, follow after love. First thing he says, after all those things, follow after love. That looks just like, that looks mundane, and it just kind of looks casual, and it just looks like nothing really there. But if we pull that up in the Amplified Bible, and of course the Amplified, if you look up that word follow in the Greek, these are the words the Amplified in the Greek would bring out. And I'll wait, I want to read that right off the screen. Praise God. Because you need to see this, because Paul wasn't casual towards it. So he says, it's a more excellent way. You're nothing without it. It never fails. The greatest of these is love. He says, with all that being said, you eagerly pursue it. You know, I'm a whitetail hunter and I pursue go after the big bucks. You don't get the big bucks by being casual. Some people, listen, there's stories of guys that just go out their first time and get them. That's not the norm. There's a pursuit. There's a on purpose going after. And he says to pursue and seek to acquire this love. And then he says what? Make it your aim. He said if you're going to set your sights on anything, Make love your aim. Why? It's the umbrella that everything else falls under. Make it your great quest. You wake up, okay, today I'm setting my sights on walking in love. Praise God. And we know being a faith church, love and faith are connected. Galatians 5 and verse 6 says, without faith, your love is not, or without love, your faith is not powered. Remember, that's why Paul said, I have my faith. I can remove mountains. What's he saying? I got heavy lifting faith. And he says, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Why? Because without love, there's no fuel. And remember, it's like the backhoe or the bulldozer in your yard, and you need big trees or thousands of pounds of dirt moved and things moved around, and it's got the ability, and that equipment can do it. But if there's no fuel in the tank, it just sits there with all that potential. You can get your faith so built up where you are just convinced in God's power, that God's going to part the seas for you. God's going to slay the giants for you. And your faith's so big in Him. But if you walk out of love, it's the bulldozer. It's the backhoe sitting on your property. All this potential and power that's not being used. Why? The miracle flow shut off. Because love is the flow of victory. I can't stress it enough. This isn't minor. This isn't just a feel-good love message. No, this is life and death. This is healing or sickness. This is poverty and prosperity. This is peace and lack of peace. This is victory and oppression. This is joy versus depression. We need God's flow, but God only flows in the flow of love. Love is the highest flow there is. That's why he says, make it your aim. He didn't say make faith your aim. Make faith your great quest. No, make love. Because if you get love as your great quest, faith will follow. Praise God. So we see that the target is love. Would you agree? The target's love. Make love your aim. But what you might not know is that love's a big target. Now, when I took Caleb to the range, you know, he's been hunting since he's been 7. In Pennsylvania, they let them under a mentored youth program. When they're 7 years old, he can go hunting. So we went down to the range before his first season of hunting with a rifle as a 7-year-old. And I had bought this cut-out cardboard deer target that was a life-size buck. And you walk down the range 100 yards, and I staple that to the wooden post they have up for the targets so he can practice what it's like shooting at a deer. You know, I've shot at targets before. But you look at a deer target, and a deer's a big animal. The deer's the target, but there's lots of places to shoot the deer on the target. A live animal and the deer target. So what do? I walk him down to the target and say, okay, you could shoot here, you could shoot here, you could shoot here. There's all these places. You want to hit this target. That's the goal, hit the target. But you don't want to just hit the target. You want to hit the bullseye of the target. So I point out exactly where. And of course, you know, if you know anything about hunting, it's the most ethical way is to kill a deer in the right spot. It saves you a headache and saves the deer a big headache. And so love's the same way. It's a big target, but there's a bullseye. Now, what you might not know is that there's 4 different types of love that's all throughout the Bible. And only one of these love is the love that never fails. Only one of these loves is the love that God is. Only one of these loves is the one that God tells us to walk in. Now, I'm not going to take time to look and study these words. I'll just mention them. You can do this on your own time. But 4 kinds of loves. One is called, on the bullseye of love, is Eros love. And Eros love is the romantic, sensual kind of love. There's the Storge, it's how it's pronounced, love. That's love between family members. There's Phileo love, which is what you read about the Bible, brotherly love. And then there's agape love, which is the God kind of love. Amen. So here we have all these different places on a deer you can shoot the target, but there's only one spot you want to hit. There's this big, vast target of love, Eros is on the target of love. Storge is on the target of love. Phileo is on the target of love. But there's a bullseye called agape. And that's what we need to hit. When Paul says, follow after love, eagerly pursue, make it your great... He's not saying make storge, that Greek word. He's not saying make eros, make phileo. No, he's saying the love that you want to make your aim, your quest, your pursuit, your what you highly seek after is agape love. Now let me just read down through real quick here. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, when Paul says, circumcision doesn't avail anything, but faith which worketh or powers or activates and energizes your faith by love, it's the agape love. You can go to, I have to be careful because I got a bunch of different gas cans in my barn and I have only labeled them in my head. One of them you mix oil and gasoline in, and that does something for something. One of them, you put the, the non-ethanol stuff in. There's one there. And then one of them is the regular stuff for other things. And I've only labeled them ahead. I got to keep it. I should write it down and get a magic marker out. But I keep it ahead because you don't want to put the wrong fuel. If I start running ethanol-free in my truck, we're going to have a problem. Yeah. And then mix it back with, or now I've put ethanol-free in my tractor, and then I go ahead and put regular in. Or in my weed whacker, I don't put the one with the oil and gas mixture. I just put the regular gas. It's going to mess things up. Right. And a lot of people are fueling what they think their faith is with storge love, eros love, phileo love. Oh, I'm in love. Well, are you sure you're hitting the bullseye? Have you had somebody walk you down to the target and say, this is where you need to hit? If you haven't, that's what we're doing today. We're on the love range. And we're gonna find out, praise God, what it is. Glory to God. And in Galatians 5, he says that. When he says in Ephesians 5, follow after God, or be imitators of God, and walk in, what's he saying? Walk in agape. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, he says, agape is the more excellent way. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, says, without agape, you're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 8, it's agape that never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is what he's saying right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after the agape love. So, okay, we're here, we know. Okay, now we have a bullseye. But you know, you get it a lot better than whether I just say to Caleb, okay, Caleb, put it about this far behind the shoulder. No. Walking him down and saying, this is exactly where you hit. It stuck to him more. And then he lined up and bam, he hit it the first shot. John 13:34. Let's start taking a look at exactly what this agape love is. Why? Because we can't afford to be outside the boundaries of it. You know, one thing that people do is a lot of people just act like God's just a magic fairy wizard and just flies around just blessing people. No, no, no. There's conditions. There's man side, God side, man side, God side, man side, God side. God wants to, God's willing, but God needs your faith, and your faith needs your love. And so if you're not walking in love and you just blow it off, I don't know, that's just not that big of a deal. Stop believing for mountains to be moved. Stop believing for miracles to flow. God only flows in the realm of love, the agape love. Well, thankfully, we don't have to try to figure this out on our own. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. You see, I love him so much. He cares so much about me. You know why I tell Caleb, why I'm so stern with Caleb and Abby when we go to shoot guns and about the safety on the gun? And commanding them where to point that gun and being stern with them and not just being flippant and just point the gun wherever, just do whatever you want with the safety. I'm stern with them and command them and make sure I'm harsh about it because I need them to get the point. Because if they don't do the right thing with the gun and the safety and where they point the barrel and make sure it's unloaded and all this stuff, and if I don't command them that they do this stuff and get on their case, they might just treat it casually and we're going to have problems. And I love Jesus. See, God and Jesus both know and have the revelation of the word that he knows my kids can't do without this. This is my flow. This is victory for their lives. My kids can't do without this. And so I love what he says here. He says, I'm not suggesting you do this. He doesn't say if it's convenient for you. He didn't say if you feel like it. Now, if you have no respect and honor for the Lord and his commandments, this won't mean much to you. But I tend to want to obey him. Have I always hit the mark? Absolutely not. But one thing I do is get back into obedience as fast as possible. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to disobey him. And so when he says a new commandment I give you, we should, as his children, perk our ears up and say, what does he want me to do? It's sad in 2020 we live in a culture of Christianity where it is absolutely optional for people of whether or not they obey God. It's optional. How they live their lives, how they talk, what they look at, what they do, how they go about their lives, the way they treat the house of God, just optional to them. Because so much of the devil's gotten into the church and the world's gotten into the church and watered things like holiness and obedience, watered it down. But to me, when Jesus says a new commandment, I better straighten up and figure out what's he want me to do. Because he's using some words here that's trying to convey a point. See, Caleb and Abby know when I say certain things, change my tone, get a certain way, they know, Dad means business, I better pay attention to this. When Jesus says, I'm commanding you something, wow, we better take notice. He says, I give unto you that you love. That word love's not eros, storge, or phileo. He says that you agape. What's he saying? The target is big with love, but the bullseye is agape. He says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So he's telling us how important it is, but thankfully he doesn't say, figure it out on your own. He says, I'm the example. He says, look at how I walked on the earth and loved people and carried myself. That was agape love in action. Now I'm going to read a few verses here. Go to John 3:16. What are we doing? We're identifying love. You know, because it's so important. It's a target we have to hit. You ever seen like a CIA movie or a military movie or crime movie where there's a bad guy they're trying to get, and they're talking and they're in their meetings, maybe they're looking over pictures and signs and say, okay, the way we're identifying this target, it's the one with the birthmark or the tattoo under his eye or their hair is this or this is what they have on. And what are they trying to do? Identify the target. There's characteristics that stand out that clearly identify the target they're after. And there is a main characteristic of agape love that will identify it for you that you need to know above all else, because it's the place where people miss the target the most. And in these verses, we're going to lead up to seeing what that is. John 3:16. For God so, not eros, storge, or phileo'd the world. God so agape'd the world. Look what God's love caused him to do. The God kind of agape love caused him to give his only begotten son. Now, in the giving of that came all the knowing. See, one thing about having foreknowledge that would be hard is to know all the horrible things. See, people don't mix up foreknowledge with predestination. Just because God knows it's going to happen doesn't mean God is setting the chess pieces for it to happen. But God has foreknowledge, and I think that'd be tough to know things that my dear children are going to walk in and they don't have to walk into it, but I just know they're going to. That would be tough. Well, in the foreknowledge of sending his son, he knew the people that would try to kill him, that would curse at him, that would spit on him, that would beat him to the place that he was, that would nail the nails in his hands. And the nails in his feet. and jam the crown of thorns on his head and spread rumors about him and blaspheme him. He knew all that. And he gave him anyways. Why? For God so agape'd the world. Now go with me to Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives. And that's a good thing to do, but that's not what we're looking at. I want to see about the end of it here. It says, even as Christ also agape'd, that's the bullseye, the church. But look at what, so Christ walked in the agape love, but what did it cause him to do? And gave himself for it. Right? So God so loved, he gave Jesus, even knowing how hard it would be. Jesus loved so much, he gave of himself, knowing how hard it would be. And ladies and gentlemen, don't get mixed up in your mind and think he was the Son of God, and so therefore, he just went to the cross, didn't feel no pain, it was just going through the motions. No, he was in the garden, so stressed out about it, that sweat turned into blood dropping from his forehead. And what did he say? Father, if I cannot do this, that would be my preference. Well, what was speaking there? His mind and his flesh. His mind and his flesh did not want to go through what he had to go through. Physically, but also spiritually being separated. He'd never been separated from Dad before. And remember when he was on the cross? What happened? The Father turned his back on him. Why? He was full of sin. And what did Jesus say? Why have you forsaken me? That's his flesh talking. His mind, because he was God, but he was still fully flesh, still fully had mental arena. And Jesus' flesh came out in the garden. He didn't sin. Sinning would have been giving into that temptation of the flesh to not go through with it. But what did he say? Father, I don't want to do this. If this can pass for me, may it pass, but not my will, your will be done. So we have to understand, it wasn't an easy thing for God or Jesus to do. Now here we go. What's the main identifying target that you need to know about agape love? The main characteristic of our target. If you're going to hit this, you got to know. If we're going to get this one, you got to get the one with the tattoo under his eye. You got to get the one with the bird. That's our target. Don't go for anything else. That's our target. What's our main identifying target? Are you ready? The main identifying target of agape love, and where people miss the mark, is that agape love has nothing to do with how you feel. What do you mean? God gave because he agape'd. Nothing in God felt wonderful and yay and exciting about giving his only son to go through the hell that he went through. Literally go through hell. Nothing in Jesus, when he gave himself, his flesh started talking in the garden. We know what his flesh wanted to do. His flesh says, I don't feel like doing this. But he didn't give into his flesh. He gave into agape love. And where people aim and set their aims, I need to walk in this. I need to walk in victory. I need the miracle working flow. Love never fails. That is my aim. And where they, poof, and it goes off here. And it goes off here. Why? Because they walk by feelings. And so agape love says, do this in a certain situation. The bullseye's there. And their feelings say, react this way. And because their feelings and their mind are so loud, and you're missing the mark. And your faith's not working. You know, it was interesting, the first time I ever put a gun in Caleb and Abby's hands, you know, and made sure no one's in front of it and we're safe, and to just tell them, you know, how would you shoot it? It wasn't the correct form. You know, the comfortable way, if you're just shooting a gun, is just grab it and pull the trigger. That's, if you've never touched a gun before and you just get it, you just shoot it. You're not going to hit the target that way. So what did I have to do? No. You have to get down with your cheek on that stock. You got to do this with your hands. They're putting their hands, and I'm moving their hands where I want it. They're putting it where it's comfortable to them. I'm moving. I'm shaking their head around with their hair. No, this way. Put it down on the gun farther. I'm jarring and jostling them around, and it's uncomfortable. But why? If they just shoot any old way they want to, how they feel, they're going to miss the mark. You remember when I grabbed the golf club and in front of the pro golf instructor, he said, show me how you hit. Well, I grabbed it how it felt good like a baseball bat and how it felt good to me, and I'm slicing them into the weeds, into the water, skidding them around the ground. And he gets behind me and says, no, you grab it this way, you stand this way. And he's doing to me, see, I'm just paying my kids back for what the golf instructor did to me. He's moving my hips around, he's moving my hands around, moving my fingers and moving my feet. No, you got to be here. And I said, this is so uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing this. Okay, fine. If you want to stay in the weeds, you want to stay in the water, you want to miss the target, Caleb Abby, go ahead. Point the gun down range and just shoot it however you want. You're not going to hit the mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. That's right.
So good. Walking in agape love, you must know, is completely uncomfortable to your flesh and your mind.
Yeah.
But so many Christians are only carnal and mental realm people. That's the realm they constantly give into. And as soon as that realm says boo, they give it up. My sister just got a puppy. And listen, puppies are wonderful. Not usually in the beginning. There's not much fun. I mean, when they're awake and playing, they're fun. But nighttime, if you want to do it right, crate train that dog and get that dog, you know, what happens is a lot of people, the dog will put it in the pen, I'm going to crate train this thing. And both of my labs were crate trained and absolutely were blessings to my family and I. But what happens is the dog will start crying and scratching and yipping and people start losing sleep. And they know, if I just go grab the dog, put it in the bed with me, it's going to stop it screaming and crying. People do that with their children all the time.
Come on.
Yeah. I know people that can't even get a good night's sleep because their kids still sleep with them. And they're 9, 10 years old because their kids kick and scream about being alone. And then, I don't want that. I don't want to go through that. So, and that's what happens with love. Love is this way, and the flesh says this, and the flesh mind says that. And it's just easier to just give into this, but you don't realize you're setting your future up. I remember years ago I had family over. And they were shocked at how my kids went to bed. They said, you just tell them to go in their room? Yeah, did it early on. Because when they started kicking and screaming from an early age, said, no, it's bedtime. Would you like a spank?
Yeah.
I'm not talking when they're little babies and babies need to be comforted and held. I'm talking when they're old enough to be in their bed. When they started kicking and screaming like a puppy, stay in your pen.
Yeah.
I never put my kids in a pen. Just let me clarify. My kids have never been in a pen. Except when they went in by themselves and thought it was neat to be in there, you know. And I said, you just put them in there? Yeah, because didn't give in the early on. What did it do for me later on down the road? Nighttime is a breeze in my house. They don't lay there and play with toys at night. They don't lay there and talk. They go in, and within 10 minutes, my kids are out. Well, I've been doing it for years. See, and a lot of people just give into the flesh because it's easier in the moment to give in the flesh, but you don't realize down the road what's building and building that you're not going to want to reap. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the truth, man. Go to Luke 23:34. You can't, it's not feelings. God didn't feel it. Jesus didn't feel it. I want to show you agape love in action, Luke 23:34. You know, when that guy in his car, the last thing he felt like doing was forgiving his dad. In all those years, feelings kept him from doing it. And what did it reap in him? No healing. The whole time. And unforgiveness is not the only step out of love. And I'm not even exactly sure where we're going in this series. We might take a whole message on unforgiveness. We might take a whole message on strife. We might take a whole message on what some aspects of walking out of love are, because some people really have these things really highlighted in their life that need to get pushed out, you know? But Luke 23 and verse 34, then Jesus said, now it's important to know the position Jesus was when he said this. He's not by the pool with a glass of lemonade and his sunglasses on, and it's an 80 degree day and it's beautiful out. No, he's on the cross. Nails in his head, or a crown of thorns in his head, nails in his hands and feet, beaten like you wouldn't believe, spit on, blasphemed, cursed at, treated horribly. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. Who? The ones that did this to me. For they know not what they do. Well, let me ask you a question. If we already saw Jesus' flesh in action before he had any of this, which was what? Get me out of this. What do you think is, do you think his flesh calmed down when nails got nailed in him? Or do you think the flesh was screaming even louder? And what does the natural man always want to do? Payback. Payback. Revenge. We know what Jesus' flesh, because our flesh would have been doing the same in the garden. I don't want to do this. And our flesh on the cross would have been, not forgive him, strike him down. That's what our flesh would have wanted to say. But Jesus didn't go the way of the flesh. He went the way of victory. And walked through hell in victory and rose in victory and seated at the right hand of the Father, a name above all names, in victory. Why? Because the miracle, power, working flow of God is always agape love. Under any circumstances, Jesus took the high road. He said, forgive them, Father. I'm going to walk in victory no matter what they're doing to me. Love, the agape love, is unconditional. It loves no matter what's being done to it. No matter what's being said to it, it loves back. No matter what's being done, it loves back. No matter what thoughts come, it refuses to think on wrong thoughts. Thought lives and actions and words are all funneled through love. And that's what Jesus did on the cross, and he showed it to us. Colossians 3:14, we're almost done. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
And we're going to help you be able to do this in this series. Colossians 3:14. Actually, go to verse 13, Michelle, I'm sorry. But I want to show you this. So we see love in action. Under the most worst conditions, love shown through. Praise God. Look what he says in Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know what forbearing means? To make allowances. When your loans are not in forbearance, you are required to pay back. When they're in forbearance, you're not required to pay back. Well, what does the natural man want to do when it's wronged? Pay back. Pay back. But love says, no, forbear that. Make an allowance for what they've done. Amen. Make an allowance. Don't pay back. Don't rail back. Don't be spiteful. Don't be grudgeful. Again, we'll look at some of these things in the series. Doesn't mean you just open the door and become a doormat and be fully trusting to those you shouldn't be. But we think a certain way, we talk a certain way, and we act a certain way in love. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So Jesus on the cross is expecting you to act the same way that he acts. When there's opportunities, every natural reason would have been for Jesus to rail back, insult back, fight back. And that's what our flesh wants to do. But he says, just like Christ acted, we act that way. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or perfectness. Put on love. You know, speaking of kids, you know, my kids are getting at a good age now where I call them my little slaves at home. What do I mean? We call it character building around my house. I will be turned in after this. I could just see someone's turning me in after this message. He puts his kids in pens and calls them slaves. So just let me clarify. I tell them, you know, character building. There's times that I'll just make Caleb do things for 5 minutes straight. Go do this for me. Go do that. Why? Just to see him do it with the right attitude. Just to make sure he's doing it honorably, and we laugh. So it's character building. But they're getting to a good age now where they can do a lot of their stuff on their own, which is a great blessing, you know. I mean, even as you, for you parents with young ones and guardians and grandparents, car seats are a pain. Getting them in, strapping them in, it's hard to get a car seat in there and then get it tight, and then the buckles get all messed up, and then they puke on it, and then there's stink, and there's all, I mean, it's just annoying, and now it's like no car seat, and now Caleb doesn't even have to have a booster seat, and I can't wait till Abby does it, and all these things are getting better. But one of the things that was a pain in the rear when they were real little was winter time. You got to bundle them up, boots and hats and coats and gloves and scarves. And I never felt, I mean, you're just running down to Wegmans, and they got to go with you, and you can't leave them in the car, you got to bring them in. Well, you can't bring them in shorts and a t-shirt. So even for a little five-minute trip down and back, you got to do all that, and you don't ever feel like doing it. But it's best and right, so you put it on them. And the Bible says, above all things, put on love. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say if it's convenient. He says when you wake up, that better be the clothes you're jumping in, is love. Now, we'll close with this verse, Romans 5 and verse 5. And I know that this, because I've talked to people and I get behind the scenes look at people's lives, and I know that there are some serious love challenges that people have to deal with. That and nobody is denying that or trying to sound like from a pedestal of, oh, just get over. No, I get it. It was not easy for Jesus to do what he did. And in our situations of forgiving certain people or people that are constantly still like an ongoing fluid situation of still hurting us and coming against us, I'm not saying that that's easy. And you can't do it on your own. And it can feel overwhelming. You hear this, you think, okay, that's what I have to do to be in victory. And there's this elephant in the room of a monster saying, yeah, but what are you going to do about me? And there's that grudge. And there's, yeah, but what about all the things I've done to you? And I'm not saying it's an easy thing. And it can be overwhelming. People think, I can't do this, you know. And can I share with you a dream that I had? I don't know what it is, but seriously, it's just such enjoyment usually when I go to bed. And just it's like I go into it, my own little movie. Well, some of you are included in this. Well, all you're included in one of them. A dream I had a little bit ago, we were all there, but we were all this doesn't have to do with the message. I'm just letting you into my dream life here. We were at a school. We were in school. We were all of us, all both churches were at a school assembly. All your faces were there, and we were at a school assembly for a paper plate throwing contest. We're all there watching it. I do have to tell you the dream I had. This is true. I had this dream last night. And then I'll get to my other dream that I had. I'm going to talk about this. The dream I had last night. Again, I'm in school. Now, the one person's here that was in the dream. One person's not. The one that's not, don't tell them. They can hear it in the 10:30 service when they come. But I'm in school, and I'm walking down the hall of school, and Lynn Luce, her desk is outside the classroom, and you only get your desk outside the classroom when you're bad. So Lynn must have been bad, but I'm walking by Lynn, and she's smoking a cigar, and it's first thing in the morning, and there's ashes all over her desk, and I walk by her, and she looks at me, and she kind of like rolls her eyes all annoyed, like I knew she was not happy. And then this young lady comes walking by next, and in a snarky voice, Amy Smith says to Lynn, "Getting your morning nutrition in, Linny?" That's what she said to her. Her cigar was her morning nutrition. That was my dream last night. So, and her voice was very snarky. "Oh, getting your morning nutrition in, Linny." As Lynn was smoking her cigar in class, in the hallway. That's my dream last night. That's a true story. But I know this love can seem overwhelming. And the other night I had a dream, and I was in a living room in Colorado. And I'm in a living room eating dinner and people are there. But also, the living room wall was kind of like, I don't know, like a mirage where, you know those little holograms that you can turn and it shows different things? And the living room wall was like that. And all of a sudden, out of the living room wall, I saw little tips of antlers start coming up over the hill. And it was the biggest elk I'd ever seen. And I knew I was in the living room, but I could hunt the elk. And I started to get excited and get the feelings that I get when the animal's coming in. And I'd never seen an elk like this before. And the path it was taking was going to walk 20 yards, broadside, slam dunk shot for me. And I'm getting all excited, and I'm getting ready to shoot the elk with my bow. And I realize in my dream, I don't have my equipment. And the elk's standing there bugling, and it's standing there in all its glory. And I can't shoot this thing. I think, oh my gosh, and I'm feeling desperate. And I'm feeling hopeless. And I know a lot of times with people in the situations you face, and pastors telling you, you want the miracle flow of God, the love you got to walk into, and you think, it's impossible. I can't do it, but I'm here to tell you, you can. That desperate feeling came from because I didn't have what I needed, but you have what you need. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Romans 5 and verse 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, which is what? Not eros, storge, or phileo, it's agape, has been shed abroad. One translation said, has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What is he telling you? You have on the inside of you what it takes to walk in that love that Jesus walked into when everything natural said no and no feelings were there at all and had been wronged and bloodied and hurt and they're trying to murder him and love poured out of him. And your pastor's telling you, and you'll see in this series, you can't ever afford to be in strife. Yeah, but sometimes, no, there's no reason for you to stay in it. And your pastor, you're going to hear in this series over and over again, you never have a right to stay in unforgiveness if you want victory. But they did this, doesn't matter. And so you hear these, and it's a heavy load. Or you can never be offended. Yeah, but what they've said to me, doesn't matter. Yeah, but how they treated my kids, doesn't matter. You can't afford to not hit this target. Jesus showed it. No matter what, love's got to come out. I need victory. And you can do it. Why? That same love that was in Jesus is in you. It's been poured out. But we got to learn how to get that love to operate in our lives. But now we've identified at least what it is. It's a love that doesn't feel. It's a love that just acts, praise God. It's an unconditional love under any circumstances. That's your miracle flow, people. That's your miracle flow. So we've identified it. And now going forward in this series, we'll continue to help you to walk that out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. It's always so good because your word is so good. And we're just so grateful for the Bible and for the utterance and for the Holy Ghost. And Father, for the correction. I mean, as I preach, I'm thankful my toes get stepped on. It's the things I'm doing wrong that hurt me. And I need to do things right and do things better. So, Father, we thank you for our help. We thank you for our encouragement. And Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open to this, to realize this is not optional. And I should say it's optional if victory is optional. If divine healing is optional and a miracle provision is optional, then yes, walking in love is optional. But if we want to get the highest flow and the highest flow of victory and walk in all that you have for us, it can't be done outside these boundaries. And I pray that people, their eyes would be open to this, and they would make it a point and to pursue. Well, that's what Paul said, make this your aim, that they would set their sights on this. And anything that they're missing the target and they're off, whether it's relationships, whether it's with their boss, whether it's with a family member, whether it's their thought process, attitudes, wherever they're missing the mark, they would set their sights and dial in that scope onto that agape love, Father, because there's so much at stake. Can we just praise him for a second and thank him? Listen, he didn't put I don't care, you know, what you're facing might be a heavy thing, but he didn't require agape love to be a heavy yoke around your neck. The revelation of that and the revealing of that and the teaching and preaching of that is to get you into more, not to bring you down. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. We praise you. We have work to do, but thank you. We all have work to do. That's okay. That's why you're helping us, to do our work. Praise God. And Lord, I know that everyone in here has already received of your love in the terms of salvation, Lord. That was agape love and demonstration when you gave Jesus. And Jesus, walking through what you went through 33 and a half years on this earth, it was a demonstration of agape love. And I know we're all born again in here, but if by chance you're watching online right now or in the future, and you can say, you know what, I don't know if I'd ever go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, and I think I'd go to heaven, but I'm not sure. God's gift and Jesus' gift of agape love towards us was so that you could be fully assured that heaven is yours someday when you die from this earth or Jesus comes back. The Bible says that God gave Jesus in John 3:16 so we would not have to perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10 and verse 13 says, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. You might say, how do you call on his name? Well, Romans 10:9, it's your roadmap. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Notice not in that verse, not one thing about church attendance. Not one thing about making sure all your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. Not anything about charity and money. It all has to do with believing and confessing Jesus. That's it. That's how merciful and loving he is. Nothing about religious backflips and religious cartwheels. If you're watching right now and you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know that I go to heaven, but I can tell you, in my heart of hearts, I believe in Jesus. Now, your head might tell you no, and your head might confuse you. You don't have to, you can't figure Jesus out in your head. You can't figure salvation out in your mind. It's always meant to be received in your heart. And your head might fight you, but that's okay. If in the deepest recesses of your heart, you can say, I don't know how I know this, but I know Jesus is real. I know he died on the cross. I can't explain it fully, and my mind's fighting it, but I know in my heart of hearts, that's called belief. And if you believe that, you're half the way there. And the other part of that verse is not just believing in your heart, it's confessing with your mouth. And so if you're watching and you say, I do believe, I want to receive him, I want to know for sure, I just encourage you when we close this service, get in a quiet place with him and just be real and pray something like this. Just mean it with all your heart and just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And then thank him for saving you, and your heaven is now sealed, your eternity sealed. And now the next step for you is to find a Bible teaching church with a pastor that will preach God's word and follow the Holy Ghost. You're welcome here anytime. I'd love to be your pastor. But if God's calling you somewhere else or you just don't live close by where that's a possibility, plant somewhere where they teach you. You say, I thought you didn't have to go to church. You don't to go to heaven. But to learn all that God has for you and how to walk that out. Like today's message, the church and the pastor helped people to see things, to learn things. That's what God wants for you. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, send me an email, give me a phone call, let me know, and I'll help you on your journey. But let's all just stand to our feet real quick and give him the proper praise and glory. We love you, Lord. We praise you and magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you for being patient with us. Oh, Lord, there's so many. I'm glad love is patient because you've been patient with me. And I praise you and magnify you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, be seated. We're going to take up the offering. And I'm just going to mention Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. We got work to do, don't we? Oh, man, we are works in progress, but it's worth the work. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 says this. So you're receiving the word, you get fed, but that's not your only job. Your job is to also reciprocate something. And it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That word communicate, in context, we're looking, it's talking about giving of yourself financially. And so the Bible says that our response, not that we pay for it, but it keeps the whole thing going, right? Just like they make you the food at the restaurant, but we also have to pay for it. Why? So they can keep making us the food that we like and to keep the kingdom going. Let him that is taught in the word communicate and him that teaches all good things. Our job is to respond financially, praise God. David expected the people to provide for the house. Paul went around to the churches and expected the people to provide for the churches in the ministry. We have to do it. So let's be faithful in our giving. Be a faithful tither and a giver. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to sow seed. Lord, it's exciting being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And Lord, we know money is a huge thing. It's one of the major ways we can serve and be a blessing to our house, to our spiritual home. And so, Lord, as we give this morning, I thank you for increase to the faithful tithers and the faithful sowers. Thank you for more than enough, more unexpected blessings, supernatural blessings, debt payoff, wisdom, favor financially. And Lord, we declare over our house that we are fully funded and fully supplied, our personal house and our spiritual house. Father, I thank you that we have more than enough in Jesus' name. I thank you that this building is debt-free. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Say this with me. Say, all the money that my church needs, it will come. All the money that my business needs, it will come. And all the money that I personally need, it will come. And I call my church debt-free in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love you and appreciate you. Have a good rest of your weekend. You are dismissed.